in season and out of season. It's a way of saying preach the word when it's popular and when it's not so popular. And indeed, we see that in today's reading with Jesus, preaching a word that was out of season, preaching a word that the people did not want to hear. Jeremiah had also preached out of season. They may have said out of turn. He was not speaking when he should be, speaking about things he shouldn't. But he was called to speak God's word in season and out of season. And today's gospel reading, and actually next week's gospel reading, we see this same kind of order of things where there's a report that's brought to Jesus, and then you have his reply to the report, and then Jesus laments, and it points to the relent, or the pulling back from judgment. The report, the reply, the lament, the relent. So that's what we'll see, this pattern today. But before we begin there, I want to go to Luke chapter 13, our reading today. But we're missing a little bit of the action, kind of, where we jump in, the action's already started. It's kind of like the if you went to a play and two people come from off stage and they're already arguing, right? You don't know what's happened yet, right? So that's kind of what our experience is today, but let's jump back. Let's see what happened off stage. Why were the Pharisees already so angry? And to kind of set the stage on this whole story, I'm borrowing from another writer who sets the tone in a way that maybe will help us understand. And so the writer says, no wonder the Pharisees are about to have a panic attack. Jesus had just said, many of you will assume that the invitation to the heavenly banquet is already in the mail. But God's guest list has no mention of the ones who prefer to dabble around the edges. In other words, what Jesus has told them is, hey, Pharisees, you're kind of playing religion. You look like you're doing good on the outside, but you're on the edges because you're not letting that word actually affect your heart. So now they're angry, and now they enter the stage. Dripping with angst, the Pharisees race over to warn Jesus that Herod is hot on his trail. Red alert! Run for your life, they caution. It's like a fretful church member who has a tendency to raise the temperature in whatever room that he or she occupies. These Pharisees reek of worry. In order to escape Herod's clutches, Jesus must start moving now. Of course, you also know that they're trying to get him out of the way. Like, why don't you move along? We don't want to hear you anymore. Rather than disarming them with his best non-anxious presence, Jesus ups the ante by dismissing their agitation, and he's got a message of his own. You tell that fox, that's the king, you tell that slick fox, that clever guy, tell that fox, I've no time for him right now. Today and tomorrow, I'm busy chasing away demons and healing the sick. And even if I weren't completely booked for the next 3 days, nothing bad ever comes to a prophet outside the gates of Jerusalem. So they come and they're alarmed and they say, oh, Jesus, you know, Herod's going to kill you, right? And they're really just trying to distract him. But even so, they've said Herod's going to kill you, and Herod did want to kill Jesus. And rather than Jesus just sort of taking the bait or running, his reply is, move it up a level and just say, you tell that fox. He's calling the king names, right? He is not backing down. He's going to continue his mission. Meanwhile, he also mentions that inside Jerusalem, he knows that the mouthpieces of God, the prophets, had better watch their backs. He knows that when he gets to Jerusalem, what will happen to him is what has happened over and over again. Murdering prophets was what Jerusalem did best. And then comes the lament. Jesus laments a deep grief for Jerusalem's cold shoulder, when God tries to shelter them under the wings like a hen sheltering her chicks, the city casually shrugs off that. They say, no thanks. We don't need a mother hen who constantly pecks at us. And so Jesus is lamenting. He says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the place where the prophets meet their end. And those who speak from God are silenced. He says, it's not the way I wanted things. I wanted to embrace you, but you chose to stiffen your backs and resist my grip. That's the lament. The relent comes in this. Jesus keeps announcing this, keeps pointing out their sin in the hopes that they would repent and God would relent, that they would turn away from their sin and God would turn back, pull back his judgment on them. That's his hope. So when they are alarmist, he replies, you know what? It's worse than you're even saying. And in fact, I lament how you've turned away from God. But repent, turn back to him, and God will relent. He will pull back the judgment. After all, that's what Jesus came to do, to take the punishment. God did not relent on Jesus. He put all the judgment on Jesus on the cross so that when we repent, we can have the hope of forgiveness and eternal life. Now, go back to Jeremiah. In your bulletins, you can see this same thing happens with Jeremiah. It's a pattern of the prophets. Faithful prophets love their people. Faithful prophets love their people, and so faithful prophets keep speaking God's word no matter what challenges they're facing. And Jeremiah is faithful in this. Jeremiah's been preaching against the people, off stage kind of again, right, before our passage. And then they come and they say, you're going to die. There's the report, right? You've been speaking evil, like judgment against us. I'm going to tell the king, right? And so the officials come, they come down from the king's house, right? Whew. All right, and they take their seats in the place where they can, officially give a sentence. And the priests and the prophets said to the officials and all the people, this man deserves a sentence of death, right? There's all this alarmist stuff, right? Now, a normal, or I guess what you'd say is what you probably would want to say if you're in Jeremiah's case, you'd want to go, I'm so sorry. I did not mean to offend anybody. Let me rephrase how I was saying it. Did I say there was going to be destruction on the city? No, I didn't mean that. I just said, there could be something like a destruction, but I'm sure it's all going to be fine. But that's not Jeremiah's reply, is it? Jeremiah says, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city, all the words you have heard. It's true. I've said it. Now, therefore, mend your ways and your deeds and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster he has pronounced against you. Jeremiah has heard the report, and his reply isn't to back down. He says, yes, I have preached judgment, but it is so that you would repent and the Lord would relent. For Jeremiah, the lament comes in the next part where he laments and says, you can do with me what you want. And you probably will. You might kill me. But it's going to bring innocent blood on the city. He's lamenting that they might do that. Because what he's hoping for is that they would repent and God would relent. Faithful prophets love their people. Go back to Jesus. Jesus, who said he would continue his course. That's his main reply, right? Herod's going to kill you. Jesus says, I'm going to continue my course. Jesus could have gone into hiding. I would have understood if he did that. Jesus could have also said, oh yeah, King Herod's going to come and get me. We'll wait till he sees what's coming for him, right? Jesus could have gone like on the attack. But Jesus doesn't do either of that. He just says, go tell that fox I'm going to keep doing what I am doing. I'm going to keep doing these works of God. He continues to speak out against the king, continues to speak out against the Pharisees, continues to call people to repent. Because he knows that the hope, the heart of all this is that God will relent. He will pull back judgment for those who turn away from their sin. And when Jesus laments, when he says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who stone the prophets, when he laments, it's not that he's giving up hope. Lament does not mean to give up hope. Lament means just to cry with anguish, to say, here's this hope. And you're turning away from it. That's the lament that Jesus has. And he has that lament because he knows there's still hope. There's still hope for them. There's still hope that they would be gathered like chicks under a hen's wings. Look at the last words that he says here. He says, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, for some of you, that may sound familiar, right? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's what the people of Jerusalem all cry out on Palm Sunday, the Sunday before he's crucified. Jesus comes into Jerusalem, and they all cry, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They welcome him then. And he knew that they would welcome him. He's urging them to welcome God. He's urging them to see their sin and to turn to God. Jesus is a faithful prophet who loves his people. What does that mean for us? What does this little order of things mean for us? It means we do not have to panic when there are threats for the gospel. When you hear threats like, oh, they're going to get the church, or they're going to do this, we do not have to panic. And we don't have to listen to our own panic either. Oh, no, the church, what's going to happen to the church? Jesus hears the report, but he keeps moving in his mission. Jesus' reply, Jesus knows who is being a fox. But he's staying the course. He knows who's up to no good, but he stays the course. He speaks out against the world. He speaks out against our sin. He knows when we're being the fox. But he continues the course for our salvation. And we can know that he laments. The heart of his response is that he laments. He aches for the world, for you, for me. He has compassion. He does not give up. He is saying there is a way for this to end differently. He aches for us because there's still yet hope. Time for us to repent, time for people that we know to repent, for the world, for us, that we would repent and turn back to God. So we got to hear Jesus preach against sin. We can't let that, be shut down. Red alert. If you preach the law, we're going to shut you down. We can't listen to that report. Because when Jesus announces sin, he's also coming in order for us to see the seriousness of the situation. We see his tears, his lament, and his hope that we will repent, that he will be able to relent from judgment, that we would turn back from sin, we would turn back to him, and he would hold back judgment. The report, there's plenty of alarming reports. We tell ourselves alarming reports about ourselves. We hear alarming reports of the world. But Jesus' reply is that he stays the course. He continues to love you, and he continued to go to the cross to save you. He laments over us when we turn away from him, but he laments because he has yet hope that we will continue to be gathered under his wings and to know his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness. Amen.